Well, next week I will have, thanks for listening tonight, though. Next week I will have a half-hour show. So I don't know what I'll devote it to, my life story. As I've started to do a few weeks ago, I started to feature on the show a book of the week and a song of the week. Tonight's book is Boss. Mike Rocco's Boss was published in 1971, and it is the biography of Richard J. Daley. Though Boss, the book, did make it to the stage in a sort of mildly received 1973 musical comedy by Frank Galati and starring Dick O'Neill as the mayor, it has never made it to the big or small screens. This was not for lack of effort, as many Hollywood sorts tried to get a deal off the ground. One of the most serious attempts, and man, do I remember this, came in 1997 when Southside native Robert Zemeckis bought the rights to the book and sent one of his colleagues, a screenwriter named Menno Magis, to Chicago to meet with Mike. These guys were the real deal. Zemeckis, then writer and director of Back to the Future franchise, was just coming off the Best Director Oscar for Forrest Gump, and Magis had written the screenplays for The Color Purple and The Empire of the Sun. Mike was excited. This could be the real deal. But after a number of meetings, some of which I attended in Mike's office, the Billy Goat Tavern, and at a fancy French restaurant, Mike and Magis never could see eye to eye on how best to tell the story, and the movie deal eventually fell apart. Maybe that was for the best. Zemeckis wanted Bruce Willis to play Daley. Think about that. And so, when it comes to our mayors, we must make do with books. There are a number of other fine ones about Daley. Clout by Len O'Connor and American Pharaoh by my friend Elizabeth Taylor and Adam Cohn. But there are most of our 55 mayors have lacked what we should call star quality. One flamboyant exception was William Hale Big Bill Thompson. My father and his fellow newspaperman Lloyd Wendt wrote a Thompson biography, Big Bill of Chicago, in 1953, which told of the man elected mayor three times, serving from 1915 to 1923, and again from 1927 to 1931. During the 27 election, in which he was abetted by his buddy Al Capone, he held a debate between himself and two live white rats, which he carried onto a stage to represent his opponents. He threatened to punch England's King George V in the snoot, began an expedition to the South Seas to discover what he thought would be tree-climbing fish, and he brought horses into the city council chambers. In the wake of the death of Anton Cermak in 1931, the Tribune wrote about Thompson, and here, how's this for a negative press? Quote, "For Chicago, Thompson has meant filth, corruption, obscenity, idiocy, and bankruptcy. He has given the city an international reputation for moronic buffoonery, barbaric crime, triumphant hoodlumism, unchecked graft, and a dejected citizenship. He nearly ruined the property and completely destroyed the pride of the city. He made Chicago a byword for the collapse of American civilization." That's tough in any election season. Thompson would make unsuccessful runs for governor in 1936 and for mayor in 1939. On March 19, 1944, he died at the Blackstone Hotel. He was 76 years old and worth an estimated $2 million. No one has ever made a movie from that book. Not only is Boss written in that powerful, poetic, and simple prose that characterized the best of Royko's work, it is a clear-eyed and knowing examination of Daley's time and place. Writing about the immigrant groups that settled in ethnic clusters and gave Chicago its distinctive character and durable cliches, city of neighborhoods, Royko wrote, quote, "For a variety of reasons, ranging from convenience to fear to economics, people stayed in their own neighborhood, loving it, enjoying the closeness, the friendliness, the familiarity, and trying to save enough money to move out." The book was a huge commercial and critical success. The late Jimmy Breslin called it the best book ever written about an American city by the best journalist of his time. Perhaps it will stand as the best book ever written about the American condition at this time. Not everyone was a fan, though. When a Bridgeport grocery store began selling the book, the mayor's wife, Eleanor, better known as Sis, sought out the manager and demanded that the books be removed. They were. As Royko gleefully reported in his column the next day, Mrs. Daly's tirade had resulted in a directive to all National Tea stores to remove the book. The company reversed its ban a few days later, but Royko reported that the book had also vanished from gift stores at the city's neighborhood. Royko wrote, "Mrs. Daly did me a tremendous favor. I'm probably going to have a book leather-bound, embossed in gold, and sent to her for Christmas because she put a couple of dollars in my pocket." Mrs. Daly did say that she had read the book, but City Hall claimed no knowledge of the book having been banned. This is great. When asked about his wife's review of the book as trash and hogwash, Richard J. Daly replied with a grin, "Well, she's entitled to her opinion." Here's the last story about Boss. Mike wrote Boss at nights and on weekends at his typewriter in the old Daily News and Sun-Times building, a stocky structure that hugged the river where the Trump Tower now stands. On the late Sunday afternoon when he wrote the book's final chapter, its final words, he walked the two blocks over to Hubbard and Rush Streets and into what was then known as a saloon restaurant called Ricardo's. The place was mostly empty, and Mike took a seat at the bar and ordered a martini. He'd been on the wagon while writing the book and simultaneously writing his 5 days a week newspaper columns. "A martini," said the bartender, whose name was Jose. "I haven't seen you in a while. You celebrating something?" "Well, yes, I am," said Mike seriously. "I just finished a book." "That's great," said the bartender who made Mike's drink, placed it carefully in a small, square white napkin, and returned to the other side of the bar. After a few quiet minutes, the bartender walked back over. He carried in his hands a tattered paperback copy of a Mickey Spillane novel. "So you finish a book, eh, Mike? Well, this is what I'm reading now. When I'm finished, you can read this book next." That was the celebration of Mike finishing Boss, which really is a stunning book. It begins with, if you want to know about Chicago, too, it's about Richard J. Daly, but it's really, really about Chicago. Mike writes in here, that Richard J. Daly grew up a small town boy, which used to be possible even in a big city. Not anymore because of the car, the shifted society, and the suburban sprawl, but Chicago, until as late as the 50s, was a place where people stayed put for a while, creating tightly knit neighborhoods as small townish as any village in the middle of the wheat fields. The neighborhood towns were part of a larger ethnic state. To the north of the loop was Germany. To the northwest was Poland. To the west were Italy and Israel. To the southwest were Bohemia and Lithuania. And to the south, Ireland. It wasn't perfectly defined because the borders shifted as newcomers moved on and older settlers, sending them fleeing in terror and disgust. Here and there were outlying colonies like Poles on the south side and the Irish up north. But you could always tell, even with your eyes closed, which state you were in by the odors of the food stores and the open kitchen windows, the sound of the foreign or familiar language, and by whether a stranger hit you in the head with a rock. In every neighborhood could be found all the ingredients of the small town. The local tavern, the funeral parlor, the bakery, the vegetable store, the butcher shop, the drugstore, the neighborhood drunk, the neighborhood trollop, the neighborhood idiot, the neighborhood war hero, the neighborhood police station, the neighborhood team, the neighborhood sports star, the ball field, the barbershop, the pool hall, and the clubs, and the main street. That captures it, does not? Does it not? It's quite a book. I would recommend it very, very highly. It tells you about Daly, but it also tells you about the Chicago that is that has probably vanished for certainly for keeps. And he wrote it, and amazingly, he wrote it on weekends and at night while doing his column 4 days a week. You can get it easily. The book is Boss, Richard J. Daley of Chicago. The cover of the book has a photo illustration of Daley in a kind of Roman conqueror's kind of suit, and a picture of Mike on the back. So that is my book of the week. We'll take a little commercial break, and I will play you two songs which will be the song of the week. They are by someone Mike greatly admired, though the sad thing was that Steve Goodman died in 1984 when he was only 36 years old. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. There is no real, I suppose, rhyme and reason to why I pick various books for this new feature of the show called The Book of the Week and the Song of the Week. I can tell you that the reason I picked Boss is that I saw it on my bookshelf a few days ago and just decided to reread it. It's a captivating thing, and I thought, okay, I haven't heard about the book in a long time. Maybe I will share it with my many listeners. That would be you folks out there. Song of the Week this week came about because I found myself standing at the corner, freezing at the corner of North and Wells in the middle of what used to be known as the Old Town Strip, where Second City still is. And where a place called the Earl of Old Town once stood and opened its doors. I used to, as a kid, have to sneak in there on Sundays when they would open it up for, like, kids. And we'd sneak in and listen to people that we would come to love, people like John Prine and Bonnie Kolak and the Brothers Holstein. And I remembered in this weird tie that is my mind that at Mike Royko's memorial service, which was held at Wrigley Field, of all places, he and Judy, his wife, and some others, his kids, had Fred Holstein come out and play. And Fred was a character and a half. And remembering that and standing at the corner of Wells and North, it reminded me of Steve Goodman. Steve Goodman, who has been gone since 1984, and I often think Steve died of leukemia, which he contracted when he was a very young man and never thought he'd live to be 30, but he did live to be 36, and he made a ton of good music. And so I looked on my shelves, and I said, I got a million Steve Goodman CDs. This was one of the unusual ones. It is called Live 69, meaning it was recorded at the Earl of Old Town, I have to believe, where else would it be recorded, in 1969. So here are two songs from it. The first is Can't Judge a Book by Its Cover, and it will be played now by Krista Flores.
Judge an apple by looking at the tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge one by looking at the other. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. No, can't you see? You misjudged me. Well, I may look like a farmer, but I'm a plumber, and you can't judge a book by looking at the cover, no. You can't judge sugar looking at the cane. You can't
tell a woman by looking at a man. You can't tell a farmer by looking at the mother. No, you can't judge a book looking at the cover. No, can't you see that you all misjudged me? Well, I may look like a farmer, but I'm a lover. Can't judge a book by looking at the cover. No. Running with the wrong, you can't tell the short standing up next to the long. Can't tell the sister by looking at her ugly brother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. No, can't you see that you misjudge me? And I may act just like a farmer, but I'm a lover, and you can't judge a book by looking at the cover. No, you can't judge a book looking at the cover.
Can't you just sense the stage presence that Stevie used to have? It's amazing, incredible. Incredible guitar player, and mostly wrote his own songs, including that monstrous hit, City of New Orleans, which you didn't know much about trains and you didn't know much about New Orleans, but he sure knew how to write a song. Here's another cover. Again, it's from one of my weird CDs that I have at home called Live 69. And again, I'm assuming that this was all recorded live at the Earl of Old Town, which the building still stands near the corner of Wells and North, but the club just exists in our memories. Here he is, Steve Goodman, doing, listen to the guitar playing too, Country Pie.
Just like old Saxophone Joe, when he's got the hog's head up on his toe. Oh me, oh mine, how I love my country pie. Listen to the fiddle play, hear him play until the break of day. Oh me, oh my, 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 well I love my country pie. Raspberry, strawberry, lemon and lime, what do I care? Blueberry, apple, cherry, pumpkin and plum, me for dinner, honey, I'll be there. Saddle up my big white goose, tie me on and turn loose. Woo! Oh me, oh my, well I love my country pie. Telling any lies, ain't running in a race. Give to me my country pie, and I won't throw it up in anybody's face. Shake down the old peach tree, little Jack Horner ain't got nothing on me. Oh me, oh my, well I love my country pie. Play that now. Strawberry, lemon, and lime, what do I care?
blueberry, apple, cherry, pumpkin, and plum. Call me for dinner, honey, I'll be there. Saddle up my big white goose. Turn me on, turn me loose. Woo! Oh, me, oh, my. Well, I love my country pie, 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 pie. Oh, me, oh, my. Well, I love my country pie. Oh, me, oh, my. Well, I love my country pie.
It's Bob Hoban. This is a Merle Haggard tune. Merle Haggard's the guy who wrote I'm Proud to Be an Okie from Muskogee and other winners. Get up there. This is one of his prison tunes. It's called Mama Tried.
It just makes me feel good to listen to Steve Goodman. I hope it does, too. It was 2 hours today of After Hours. It will be a half hour of After Hours next week, so I hope you tune in. I'll just probably do Song of the Week and Book of the Week and explain why whatever it is Song of the Week and why whatever it is Book of the Week. Thanks to Ben Anderson for producing, to Krista Flores for keeping the show running as the as the engineer. Ben posts these shows too, really. So if you're pulled away to watch the game, that sounds like a Packers disaster. You can listen to the show now or anytime you feel like it. I'll be on next week. See ya. Stay well. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Bye.